Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just some of the time, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be alive. Amen. Just to see another Lord's Day is a blessing in itself. To wake up from my sleep, to see a new day, one we've never seen before, and we'll never see again. And all I'm coming under the close of a year that will be in our past as we look forward to a new year of 2018. Amen. Oh, boy, that cold knocked me down. Came in last Friday feeling good. Halfway through the day, had to go home, and I was down to this past Friday. I thought of getting back up again. So I thank you for your prayers. Amen. That was a rough cold. Amen. I didn't have the flu. I had a cold or something. I don't know what it was, but it was tough. But I guess when you get older, you don't heal up as fast as you used to. It might be a sign that I'm getting older, which I think. Amen. So thankful, Brother Thrive, for filling in for me last week, and all of you prayed for me. Appreciate you. My wife is also dealing with her health conditions, and we both been down. So it's tough when both of you are down. I had to take care of her being sick. Ain't that something? But that's what better or worse means. Amen. In sickness and in health. Which one of us felt the better? The one helped the other, because she would help me at times when I didn't feel like getting up. So I'm thankful.
Amen.
If you visit with us tonight, a member of the Church of Christ, a very distinguished guest of the audience, and we do appreciate you being with us this morning, and it's our hope and prayer that you'll obey the gospel. You believe that he hung, bled, and died, talking about Jesus, on that cross of Calvary. That you'll believe that so much that you'll run down the aisle and give God your life. Obey the gospel. Be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. We'll baptize you this morning. And that's what we believe in the churches of Christ. Amen. I see my sisters in the audience from Texas, East Texas. A lot of people are visiting their families and out of town. A lot of dents in the church. I can see what big families are missing. Amen. So we're just thankful to have those who are here. And we're praying for our family members who are on the road traveling to be with their loved ones during these holiday seasons. Amen. Now let me give my typical 5-minute sermon on Christmas. So y'all can make sure I get down here where y'all, everybody can see me, because some of you, y'all believe in this Christmas stuff, and I just need to set the record straight. Is that good? Let me set the record straight on this thing called Christmas. First, number one, is not in the Bible. So if you call yourself a Christian, according to the scripture, you call yourself a Christian, following the scripture rule, the scripture guidelines, there is no such thing as Christmas. Amen. The first thing you need to know, it's not a biblical discussion. You cannot have a biblical discussion on Christmas. Now, you can't even have a biblical discussion about God telling us in the scripture to remember Jesus' birth. The Bible do not say that this Jesus is the reason for the season. That didn't come from God. He did not tell us to remember his birth, but he did tell us to remember his death. The memorial service called the Lord's Supper or communion. That doesn't happen on December the 25th. It happens on every first day of the week. Let's take a common sense approach to my 5-minute sermon. Why would God want us remembering his son's birth, who hung on a Calvary's hill, suffered on a cross, but represented by a man that's fat with a red suit, riding in a thing that's pulled by deers, falling through a chimney and getting stuck, eating the cake up that mama cooked for the kids, and leaving a gift behind saying thank you. That's the same as Easter, isn't it? Use a rabbit laying chicken eggs to represent Jesus' resurrection. Is it humorous or foolish? The world has been captured by Catholicism. This comes from Roman Catholicism. Crisis Mass. That's not in your Bible. Saint Nicholas is not a saint in the scripture. Not only Saint Nicholas not a saint in the scripture, Saint Valentine, Saint Patrick. You wear green for Patrick, you give loved ones chocolate for Valentine, and you give gifts for Nicholas. That didn't come from God. Now, if you want to give a gift, you can give it any time of the year.
Amen.
But don't do it in the name of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Your best giving should be in the plate. When you give back to the Lord who gave you life, duh, and he has control of your life, that's when your best giving is right there.
Amen.
You said, Brother, you telling me I got to tell my children the truth? You don't lie to them. Why would you lie to your children? Tell them he's going to come put some ashes in your eyes. You know, that's a bunch of foolishness. Just tell them God been good to us and I'm going to give you a gift. Give you a gift. If you want to give a gift, give it a gift. Ain't nothing wrong with giving a gift. But don't lie to them and say it's by Jesus' birth and Jesus' reason. Don't put all the lies with it. As a matter of fact, give me a gift anytime of the year. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you. Now somebody said, Brother, preaching against Christmas. Yes, I am telling you it's not the truth. But if you want to wrap up a gift in red and give it to me, I'll take it because I'm not stupid. I'll take a gift. Did we set the record straight? Okay. That's all I'm going to do on that. You want any more information, go to Wikipedia. Because it's not in your B-I-B-L-E. Amen. Wikipedia will give you the origin of it, and it don't have nothing to do with God. It has everything to do with paganism and Roman Catholicism. And they ought to be ashamed, in the Vatican and Rome ought to be ashamed of promoting this day when it's not biblical. And America's and the world should be ashamed for going along with such foolishness when you can read your Bible. That's why many people are going to be lost, because they don't read their Bible. And you say, well, brother, but you just spoiled my day. Well, I might just be the day you got spoiled, the day you got helped.
Amen.
Quit believing a lie. Now, let's go to the Bible and do some Bible study.
Amen.
Is that better? In John chapter 6. Now, John chapter 6. We're studying the book of John. The book of John has been a wonderful study.
Amen.
And now we're in John chapter 6. I think got 71 verses in it. And this morning's sermon is titled, They Willingly Received Him Into the Ship. In John chapter 6, in verse number 16, there the Bible says, and when the evening was come,
his disciples went down unto the sea.
When the evening would come, the disciples went down into the sea. Read.
And entered into a ship.
And they entered into the ship.
And went over the sea toward Capernaum.
Uh-huh. Read on.
And it was now dark.
Right, read.
And Jesus was not come to them.
Okay, read on.
And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So
right.
when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs,
right.
They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near unto the ship,
all right.
And they were afraid.
Okay, read on.
But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid.
Okay, watch this now. Verse 21. Then they
willingly received him into the ship.
Right there. When they willingly received him in the ship, immediately
the ship was at the land whether they went.
Now, this is also recorded by Matthew and Mark, but not by Luke. Now, last week when we looked at the 5,000, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John all recorded the event. But now let's go to Matthew's account, because there's some good preaching and all that, but I'm not going to deal with all that today. In Matthew chapter 14, what Matthew records is in verse number 22. Here's Matthew's account of the same event. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples
to go into the ship.
So he constrained them to get into the ship. Watch
the
difference.
And to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away.
Read. And when he had sent the multitudes away,
he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone.
He was there in the evening. This is going to be important for our study this morning. It was evening time. Read.
But the ship was now in the midst of the sea.
Okay, but the ship was in the sea.
Tossed with waves. For the wind was contrary.
Uh-huh.
And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them.
Nighttime.
Walking on the sea.
Another point of reference for today's study. Read.
And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea,
they were troubled,
saying, it is a spirit.
This is a spirit coming.
And they cried out for fear.
And they were afraid of it. Read.
But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying,
Jesus then speaks out.
saying, be of good cheer.
He said, be of good cheer.
It is I.
It's I.
Be not afraid.
Don't be afraid. Read.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord,
Peter responds,
if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Mm-hmm. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me.
Now, this is Peter's account. I mean, Matthew talked about how Peter, and this is always the sermons you hear, Peter's faith was, because he was approaching Jesus on the scene. And this is the part, it's some good preaching right there. Read on, but I'm not going to do that this morning.
And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him
and said unto him,
O thou of little faith,
wherefore
didst thou doubt?
That's good preaching right in there. That's not what we're going to do this morning, though. Read on.
And when they were coming to the ship,
the wind stopped.
Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God.
They're convinced who he is. Go ahead.
And when they were going over, they came into the land of Gennesaret.
Yeah, that's good.
And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were deceased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment.
Let's go to Mark's
and
account.
As many
to
as touch were made whole.
Let's go to Mark's account, verse 45. Mark 6, 45. Let's go to Mark's account, which is, so we got John's account. We got Matthew's account, which talks about Peter walking underwater. Now we got Mark's account, verse 45, I think where it starts.
And straightway he constrained his disciples to go into the ship.
Yeah, this is Mark's account. So remember, with the gospel, you got to put them all together, get everything that happened. So here he is. He constrained them to get into the ship. Read.
And to go to the other side before Bethsaida, while he sent away the people.
All right, read.
And when he had sent them away, he departed unto a mountain to pray.
Right.
And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land.
Okay, read on.
And he saw them toiling and rowing.
That's a point that Mark's making. He see them struggling, they're toiling and rowing. So this boat, this ship is one, not like the big ships that we think of as the ship where those men on it could actually row. It was a sail. It had sails on it, sailed by wind, but then they could row when the winds got too rough. So they're rowing. They're toiling and rowing. Read on.
For the wind was contrary unto them.
Yeah.
And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea.
So here he is.
And Jesus would have passed by them.
That's what's amazing about this story is that Jesus walking on water, walking on the sea. That some people just preach that part. All right, read on.
But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out.
Yeah, they got a little
For they all saw him and were troubled.
Yeah.
And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. Be not afraid.
That's it. So here are the three accounts. Let's go back to John now. Let's go back to John. Because we're studying the book of John, I want to stay with John's account. I want to look at just what John talked about. There's something there in what John said that's interesting to me. And John 6:16. Now look at this. When the even was now come, verse 16,
his disciples went down unto the sea.
Went down and said, so it's evening time for these disciples. And I want us to, for this morning's lesson, is to focus on the evening times of your life.
Okay.
And evening is always before night. Evening is always before darkness. And his disciples are headed down the ship before darkness in the evening time. No doubt in my mind that the sea is come and no evidence of trouble ahead. Verse 17, and entered into the ship
and went over the toward Capernaum.
And it was now
dark.
Now, once they're in the ship, it's now dark. So now they've left evening time and now in darkness. These disciples are alone. These disciples are in the dark period or the dark hours without Jesus. I think y'all see where I'm going with that. They're in their dark hours without Jesus on the ship.
Okay.
Now, listen to the Bible. And it says that,
and the sea arose by reason of a great wind.
By reason of a great wind
that blew.
So the sea is now disturbed. It has rose by a reason the sea is upset is by the winds. So it's evening, they leave. It's dark. They're on the ship. And now there's a storm brewing. The storm is brewing, the wind is blowing. And they're alone without Jesus. Verse 19, so when they had rowed about
25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the water, on the sea, and drawing near unto the ship, and they were afraid.
So now they're rowing, they're trying to make it to the other side. And so when they see something, they see Jesus. The disciples are rowing, they're torn, and they're toiling, they're fighting to get to the other side, and it's dark. But when Jesus came on the scene, they could see. I'm going to make a point out of that. And they are now afraid that they're not going to make it. They're moving slow. He says about 25 or 30 what?
Furlong,
which is 3 to 5 miles. So this means that during the winds and during the storms, Jesus could have came early, but he allowed them to toil. He allowed them to row and fight the contrary winds on their way to their destination. In verse number 20.
But he says unto them,
it
is I, be not
so not
afraid.
Only do they see him, but now they hear his voice. And his voice, he says, it is I, be not afraid. So now they respond to not what they saw, they're responding to the voice of the one they know. Then, verse 21, my text for today, then they willingly
received him
into the ship.
And immediately the ship
was
at the land
where they were going. Immediately. Now, so here's my point. The title, then they willingly received him into the ship. Look at the outcome. When they received him into the ship, immediately they was at their destination and safe. They heard his voice. They responded to his voice and allowed him. They willingly received him into the ship. So the key word for making application now, as I go toward the end of the lesson, is that the key word is willingly.
Okay.
So these disciples are now willingly or had a desire for Jesus to come help them. Number two, they received him or they led him into the ship. So here's how I apply this to this. All of us are living life. The ship is the life. We'll live life from birth to death. The shore is birth. The other side is death. When we look at the evening before in life, it can be in a situation where things are going good, but darkness is coming. The evening is when God is in our life, maybe, maybe not. But darkness is for sure when God is not around. The sea is the world. And as we live life, there will be a storm coming and you don't know it. The storm will be allowed by God, and sometimes he don't come when you want him to. Sometimes he allows us to go through things because that's his will. Our storms of life will end, though, if we got God in our lives with that harm and in a handler. God can handle anything he want to handle immediately.
Amen.
So who here this morning in the evening time of your life? Who here have forgot that things may be good now, but nighttime's coming? Everything can be going good, but all of a sudden you get one phone call and your life changed. Your whole life is ruined. It seems that you can have good health and you're living good and things are going good and you're exercising and you're eating good food and you're eating right. Your cholesterol is down and everything's going good to you. But one doctor visit and you find one little spot on your liver. It was evening before you went to the appointment. But when you got the news, it was dark time. Everything's going good. Your blood pressure's good. All the vital signs are good. And they just go take a normal routine, a routine physical, and they do a CAT scan, and a spot is on your lungs. Everything was going good. Because it was your evening time. And I'm saying somebody here this morning need to be reminded that even though it's evening, you better be prepared for the dark. But what you never want to do is live the evening time as if God doesn't exist, as if there's no storm, as if there's no wind, and as if you'll never need God because nighttime is coming. No stress in your life. You're doing good. No stress. It's evening time. Things are going good. Everything's rolling. My house is good. My family's good. I got a good job. I'm making good money. Driving a nice car. Eating good. Everything seemed to be going real good. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in the dark hours. You lost your job. Things went bad. Now you're starting to lose your home. You're going through foreclosure. You're going through bankruptcy. Your things went good. But now it's in the darkness. You're married. You got married. You married the love of your life. The one you thought you'd live forever with. You were happy that day. You had your white gown on. You know you didn't. You wouldn't have heard it. But anyway, you were. You shouldn't have went there, Brother Brooks. I know. I messed up your daytime, evening time, didn't I? Yeah, you know you didn't have no business putting white. Anyway, but put a beige on. What did I say, Brother Brooks? Purity. But anyway, it was evening time, man. Things were good, man. And he was the love of your life, and you made the vows, and you had a big reception, and you spent $10,000 when you could have done like me and went to the courthouse and spent nothing and stayed 37 years. Amen. Okay, well, anyway, somebody putting down weddings must be me. Anyway, it's still the truth. Folks spend $5,000 and $10,000 on a wedding, and a minute married don't last a year. That's the truth. You know, I mean, somebody probably sitting in here that went through just that. Because the evening time with all the good stuff, all the courtship, all the things were going good. And then after you've been married for a while, you start learning things ain't always courtship. Things ain't always good. Amen. You start to get to know each other. You start to get to know some things you didn't know. Secrets start to come out. Then you find yourself, you're in a marriage that you don't want to be in with a man that you don't love, who you regret marrying. Now you go to sleep at night. You regret being in the bed with him. You regret living with him. You want out. You're miserable. You're unhappy. Now, what's going on, brother? You in your dark hours. You say, ooh. You thought she was the one, huh? That was the woman that would never cheat on me. The woman that was supposed to be pure. The woman that she done her thing. She was good to me. She was my girl, man. That was my evening time. And I was so happy with her because she was the love of my life. And the one I never thought. The one I never thought would betray me. The one I never thought would turn on me. The one I never thought would disrespect me in the public. Not treat me like a man. Not treat me like a husband. Not admire me as her man. She would damn start talking down, talking about me with a girl. She talked about a man, and she didn't like a man no more. She was in the evening time when everything was, you was in the evening time when you had that woman. Everything was good. And now you find out you got your little witch, and you got your little... Yeah, you found out you ain't got all those sweet things. You got your little woman that ain't going to do nothing but nag and all cause you miserable problem. All she wanted was your money and your time. That's all she wanted. And you're in the dark hours. Now things ain't so good no more. Isn't that life? Isn't it life where we can all be doing good and seem things that everything's going good, man, and you think everything going to work out in your favor and you find out one day it's not the right one? It's the wrong person I chose, and I said for death, do me a part. And I know God says I can't leave that woman unless she commit adultery. I'm in a bad fix. What's going on? The winds are blowing. The things are troubling you. You're on the sea of life. You're troubled. Things are not going good for you. And what I'm saying this morning is that you're in the dark time of life. Good job, good financials, things are going good, all things are going good, everything's looking up for you, man. Make one bad investment, you lose everything. You had it all going. Yeah. Things can be going good. Y'all get the point? What I'm saying, we can keep on going high. Life, you can be at a church building, and things are smooth, church is going good, people are loving each other, and then one bad member, one bad elder, one unqualified preacher, one unqualified elder can turn the whole church in an uproar. One gossiping sister. Amen. One backbiting woman. Amen, somebody. One troubled brother in the brother meeting can turn the church in an uproar. One sister can start mess and ruin the whole day for the whole congregation. We were in the green. Everything was looking good, man. We were doing good. The church was growing. We were moving. We're baptizing. We're doing things. And then one bad apple spoiled the show. What happened? God put us in the dark. We're dealing with the nighttime situation. And so what I'm trying to get us to see, it may be a situation that you're in that things were good, but things are not so good. You can see a young man, a young lady, you know, you've been enjoying the evening time of sex. Oh, man, you know, don't get too hard on them teenagers when they get pregnant. Because many of you had the same thing going on when you were a say amen. Amen. Been there, done that. And then we fall apart when it's our child. And you did the same thing. Oh, brother, can't believe my child is pregnant. She got pregnant, got caught. You did what she did, just didn't get pregnant. What are you saying? I'm talking to a young person now. Here you are. You're enjoying the evening time of sex, but then something happens to the young lady, and cycles change. Things ain't the same next month. You're now stepping into the dark because you know you got to get the pregnancy test. You got to get it because you know now it's a possibility that the fun is over and it's dark. And you go get the result, and it turns out positive. You at 15, you at 16, you pregnant. Now you're in your dark hour. You got a child to take care of. You gotta worry about your mama knowing, your daddy knowing, your sister knowing. How I'm gonna tell my preacher, how I'm gonna tell the church, what's gonna happen when my belly is fat and I walk into the church building? All the secrets are out. I've been having fornication. I've enjoyed it. He, my man, go to church when we know it's his. The church is in your business. They know your man. They know what y'all been doing. Because the baby is the evidence. It goes through your mind. I got to get a portion for everybody. No, because you're in the dark without God. When a person thinks about an abortion, they're thinking about taking a life they had no responsibility to the actions you took. What I would say to you, rather than deal with the storm of life like that without God, you better bring God onto the ship, willingly receive him into the ship. That's what I'm trying to get us to see this morning. And it may be a young lady in here that I'm influencing you to stop your fornication before it gets too late. And start focusing on marriage. So you don't have to worry about your business being in the street. Because we know once you say, I do, and go on your honeymoon, it's on. And pop it. That right there. That young boy, if you make him wait, he's going to shut up and be happy. It's only popping. Yeah. Honeymoon, they call it. That's what they call it. I ain't getting no amens this morning. Probably got a lot of people got pre. Anyway, don't meddle like that. You know, a lot of times we get pregnant before we're supposed to, and then we get married before the belly pops. But then the members going to start counting. Let's see now. She had the baby and. That was 8 months. Oh, she was praying when she got married. It was 3 at the altar. Her, him, and the little one. Yeah. They thought I got away, but you got them slick members who looking for something. They going to count back, and they going to tell their friends she was praying.
It's a whisper. And we got some here. They good at it too. They slick, man. But I want to tell them, I know who they are. I know them. Because they color show. Yeah, you know, how many of y'all know somebody here that you know talk too much? You know who they are. You know what memory it is. And you know now. Now, if you're smart, you don't tell that person nothing. Because they going to tell it. And as soon as he or she figure out it was 8 months, because they child, you know that child was pregnant before they got married. See, but she had on a white dress. That don't mean nothing. What are you doing, Brother Brooke? I'm just saying, during the storm, when things go on, people going to mess your life up. They'll mess up you. They'll mess up. So I'm talking to the young man who could get your life messed up because you get the young girl pregnant, and young lady who your life get messed up because you're louder. What I'm saying is that things are good right now, but when the baby comes, when things come, it ain't going to be so. Because now you got to take care of a child, all these other things. Come with it, but so what are you saying, Brother? We got 2 cases in the room today. You got those who are in your evening, and you got God with you, and you're ready for the nighttime. You got those who are now in the dark hours of your life. You're already dealing with things, and you're in a storm. You got those who are in their evening time, and they are acting as if there is no dark, no nighttime coming. And you're living life as a fool. What do you mean by that? Life without God has no meaning. Anyone who lives life without God is getting on the ship as if there's not going to be a storm, as if the wind would blow. As if you'll never toil, as if you'll never struggle, you're going to get on your ship. I'm saying to you, you don't have to leave today without God on your ship.
Amen.
So when they seen him coming, the apostles, the disciples were on the ship. They're struggling. They've been trying to get to the other side, and they're struggling through life. Just like all of us, we struggle with life. Every day could be different, man. Things can be going good. Every time, all of a sudden, everything's in an uproar, and you don't know what to do. But I say this, Jesus is coming. He's on the way. My question is, will you willingly receive him into the ship? What are you saying, Brother Brooke? I'm saying Jesus is wanting to come, but will you hear his voice? Well, can you say, I can hear my Savior calling? When you hear the voice of Jesus, you'll hear one who's coming to your rescue, and once you get him in your ship, it's going to land his destination with no harm to you. But you may be going through your storm this morning. You may be already in the dark. So if you're already in your storm, it's not too late, because in the storm it's dark. But when you see Jesus, you see light. When you see Jesus, there's hope. There's light. When he's coming to you, there's light. He stands at your door and he knocks in your life. I want to come in. I want to help you. But you got to open the door and let me in.
So I'm saying today, I don't know what your storm is. I don't know what time of life you're in. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I know all of us came in here with something. All of us came in here with some issues. All of us came in here in one part of our life. Either things are good or you're in the dark. And once you determine where you are, you can say, Brother Brooks, what if I'm good? Do I need God? The answer is yes. Brother Brooks, if I'm not, I'm in my dark hours, do I need God? The answer is yes. What are you saying, Brother Brooks? I'm promoting God to you this morning. I'm promoting to let Jesus on your ship. Because surely the winds will blow and troubles are coming. You're going to get the death call. Everything's going good. You ain't lost nobody in your family. But it's coming. It's coming. No, we don't want to face it. None of us want to think about it because we're all in the evening time. But my friend, it's going to be your mama. It's going to be your daddy. It could be your child. It could be your loved one, your husband, your wife. It's coming. The call is coming. Don't live as if it's not coming. And I'm saying to you today, I don't know where you're at in your life, but I'll tell you, many times I've seen people play with this as if life is going to always roll them a strike. It ain't going to always roll a strike. Man, you here this morning, you don't know what tomorrow's holding. You don't know what 2018 holds for you. You don't know. Yes, you got a good 2017, but what is coming? What is God going to allow you to roll for 3 to 5 miles? What situation, what condition, what storm will God allow you to go through next year? You can leave today and say, Brother Brooks, I had a good year, and I know I didn't do right for God. I say, you can get it right today. I had a good year. I wasn't faithful to the Lord. You can be faithful starting today.
Amen.
I had a bad year, and I know I left God out. You don't have to leave him out for next year. You can make a decision this morning. I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm willing to go let him in my life. And Jesus calling, come unto me, all you that labor. And heaven later, I'll give you a ride. You come by knowing that one day over 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ was beached with a whip. That God sent his son who was spit on. His son was mocked. His son was beaten brutally. His son was crowned with a crown of thorns. His son suffering and bleeding from the whipping. He's carrying his heel, crossed up a hill called Calvary. And they get God's son on the hill. They execute him with nails in his hands and in his feet. And there on that cross, he would hang 6 hours for you to willingly receive him into your life. He died for your sins according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He suffered tremendously for you to allow him into your ship. It was Jesus who hung on that cross. It was Jesus who shed his blood. It's his blood that purchased the church of Christ. It was his blood that washes man's sins away. Revelation 1, 5, Acts 20, 28. He purchased the church. The church is the church of Christ. That's the only one in the Bible. And that's the one I'm going to preach. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, which is the church. And you can get into the church. You can obey God. You can say, Lord, I hear you calling me. I hear you. I hear you. I see you on the cross. I see what you've done for me. I'm willing to receive you into my life. I'm willing to receive you into my life. Say, what do you got to do? You got to hear his voice. When they took him down off the cross, buried him in a burial tomb, he rose up with a voice of appeal. Mark 16, 15 and 16, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. That's the voice you must hear. Jesus calling you, said, preach the gospel. Tell him I suffer, bled, and died. He that believeth and is
baptized shall be saved.
Hear him saying, believe and be baptized. Hear him when he got up Matthew 28, 18. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hear him when he said, believe it with all of your heart. Except you believe, you're going to perish. Hear him when he said in Luke 13, 3, I tell your neighbor, except you repent, you're going to perish. Hear him when he's calling you through belief, through hearing his voice, believing his voice, repenting because of his voice. Then make a noble confession among men. Acts 8:37, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hear him say this in Matthew 10:32. If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before Father. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. Hear his voice this morning. He's calling you, y'all. He's saying, believe it, repent, confess it. Jesus Christ be the Son of God, then be baptized. And we'll baptize you as commanded by him. And when you're baptized, you contact the blood in the water. The blood of Jesus will wash your sins away. And he can give you the Holy Spirit and add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ. And there you live faithfully. In the evening time, you stay with God. When it's dark, you stay with God. Because along with God in your life, there's no darkness at all. In other words, you can make it through anything as long as you got God. So I'm saying today to the members of the church, this is the end of the year. It's always a good time to refocus.
Amen.
Refocus this today. Today, say, you know what? Brother, I went through some good times last year, and I had some tough times. But I wasn't as faithful as I should have been to the Lord, and I'm going to do it today. I want to rededicate, recommit my life to him. I want to willingly receive him into my life. And then those who are a member of the church, you just thankful God brought you through another year. You've been faithful to him. You had him there in the evening. You had him during the dark. And you've seen some struggles this year. You've had some health struggles. But God brought you home from the hospital. Things wasn't going good. But God saw you through it. You kept trusting in him. You kept believing in him. And you're that person that you had him in the evening and you had him at night. And God brought you through. And you landed on the other side with that Father. I want to know that memory. You may want to just come up and say, you know what, closing out this year, I just want to say thank you, Lord. Because I didn't think I was going to make it home from that hospital, and I did. I didn't think I was going to. I thought I was going to go out on chemotherapy. I thought I was going to go out on dialysis, but I made it through last year, and I'm clean today. And my blood is still clean. I'm still going through dialysis, but God is with me. The doctor gave up on me. Everybody said I wasn't going to make it, but I'm still here. God is on my side. You might be one of them members say, you know what, 2017, I just need to say thank you, Lord, this morning. I'm just thankful I'm a Christian. Lord, thank God I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Maybe the third person, you're here and you're not a Christian. You come by hearing the voice of Jesus calling you to become a Christian, by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, by hearing and believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. When you're baptized, that's called obeying the gospel. You're adding to the Lord, will add you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, and there you live faithful unto death, and you take communion every Sunday and stop coming to church on Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas. You start coming to worship every Sunday, get away from man-made doctrine, and obey the Lord, keep communion every week, keep him in your life, you keep the light in your life. When you keep the light in your life, everything is all right. No matter what you're going through, everything going to be all right. So that person is not a member of the Church of Christ. You've been baptized before. You're a member of the Baptist Church. I'm saying you're not a Christian. When you say, brother, I say you're not a Christian. There were no Baptist Christians. There were no Catholic Christians, Methodist Christians. The Christians in the Bible were members of the Church of Christ. You say, brother, I don't want to hear that. It's not about what you want to hear. It's about me having a charge to preach the truth. I have to preach the truth in season, out of season, whether you want to hear it or whether you don't. But I gave you some good information. Now, go find that church in the Bible. I'll change it, but you ain't going to find it because I came out of it myself. I'm telling you what you need to do. You in this year, in it right. Obey the truth today. Come to the Lord today and say, you know what, Brother Rooks? I just want to be a Christian. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to come to the Lord. I just want to come to him. And I want to say, I want you to come right now as together we stand and sing. Sing this song with him. Come to the front for prayer. Come for confession. Come for baptism right now.